Now, I'm sure all of us have heard that emergency alert go off on our cell phones or on the TV. And the moment that that sound goes off, I mean, it just interrupts everything you're doing, especially when it's 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning. It gets your attention immediately. Now, I think sometimes what God does is that God interrupts our lives to get our attention and to give us direction. Scripture is full of that. God comes to Abraham, he says, leave your people, leave your country, move to the place where I will tell you. Huge interruption. Joseph is sent away. He's taken as a prisoner away. God interrupts his life into Egypt because God needed to use him there. Mary, young woman, all of a sudden hears this baby being born into her life, interrupted her life. We know those stories, but the story I want to take you today is to the life of a young man, initially, a young man called Jeremiah. When we talk about him nowadays, we just talk about him as a prophet. But if you go read the story, he wasn't necessarily planning to be that prophet. He was training more to become like his father, a priest. But read with me the story, Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests of Anathoth, in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go everywhere I send you and to say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. And then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Against this backdrop, I'd like to make a few observations about what it means when God interrupts our lives. And here's the first one. Sometimes an interruption is not so bad for us. For instance, when all of a sudden the boss calls you in and tells you that you've been promoted. So now you have to move your office to another place, change your desk. But that's wonderful, an amazing interruption because it falls in with my plans for what I want and how I see my life going. But here's the first thing about God's interruptions. When God interrupts our lives, it is not about my plans. It's about God's plan for my life. Let me explain. One of the most well-known verses in the book of Jeremiah, of course, is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans for a future and for hope. And we've all said that often, and it's a beautiful verse. But I wonder if we've read that first line properly. I know the plans I have for you. When God interrupts our lives, it's all about God's plan. God is not getting here and getting behind Jeremiah's plan of what Jeremiah wants. God says, Jeremiah, got a new plan for your life. Just going to stop it right here. You're going to be a prophet. And that's my plan for your life. When God interrupts, God has a plan. God has a future in that. And God sees the blessing that comes in that. And what God asks of us when God puts God's plan in that interruption is for us to walk there in faith and to trust what God has said and what God has planned is the best for me. And in the moment I say that, I can look you in the eye and I know it's easier said than done to say, that's cool, God. Interrupt my life. Make your plan the plan. And I'll just walk. It's an easy ask, but not an easy walk. Which brings us then to that second observation. When God interrupts our lives, you often won't feel ready. So when God comes into Jeremiah's life, he's around 16 years old, doesn't have a lot of experience, doesn't have the background for this to become a prophet, because to be a prophet in those days was a really hard, difficult, and often dangerous life to live or profession to have, because if you didn't necessarily say what the boss wanted to hear, boss in this sentence translates the kings that you served under. If you didn't say what the boss wanted to hear, you would easily be killed or sent away, and you would never see your family again. And often the prophets had to say what wasn't all that cool. And when Jeremiah walks out there, there really is no preparation that you can do to become a prophet. But here's the thing. Second thing. When God interrupts your life, you won't necessarily feel you are ready. But when God calls you to follow His plan, God is not so much concerned about your readiness, far more about your willingness. Remember what I said? Trust, walk with me, easier said than done. God says, are you willing? Are you willing to take my hand? Are you willing to take my word that my plan for your life is a way better plan and I have good plans for you? It's all about willing. When God called, let's go to the New Testament. When God, Jesus called the disciples, He didn't ask them, were you ready? They were on the boats and the nets, and He said, leave the boats, leave the nets, follow me. Are you willing to follow me? When He walks up to Matthew, the tax collector, sitting behind his booth, He doesn't say, hey, Matthew, are you ready for this whole thing? He says, Matthew, follow me. And Matthew has to be willing to leave that booth behind and that life behind and follow Jesus. When God interrupts our lives, I might not feel all that ready, but He's asking me, are you willing? Which takes us to that third observation. When God interrupts our lives, we might be tempted to make excuses. Let me take you back to the story. So God says to Jeremiah, I've called you to be a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah's first words to the Lord, alas, sovereign Lord, I am too young. I don't know how to speak. It's such a beautiful word, that word, alas. In the Hebrew, it's the word aha. It's this respectfully, Lord. I mean, if you're going to say no to the Lord, I mean, you might as well be a little kind and gracious, right? Respectfully, Lord, I can't speak. I'm too young, and I don't know if I can do it, and I don't think I want to do it. But actually, all we're doing when we are doing that is making excuse upon excuse upon excuse. And we don't like to use that word excuse. We'll change it, and we'll use the whole word saying, I have a good reason for that. I have a good reason for not trusting. I have a good reason for not wanting to serve you right now. I have a good reason not to want to forgive right now. I have a good reason to want to do my own thing. But God doesn't always care about our reasons, right? Because God interrupts our lives because he has a plan and he asks us to be willing. So look at God's response. When Jeremiah starts off, alas, respectfully, regrettably, Lord. The Lord immediately says, stop. Interrupts him right there. He says, don't tell me you're too young and don't tell me you can speak, because verse 9, I have already put the words in your mouth, my words in your mouth. I didn't interrupt you without having a plan, Jeremiah. I didn't interrupt your life because I thought that you're strong. I interrupted because I have a plan, and all I need you to be is willing, and I will take care of that. Don't make excuses. And by the way, Jeremiah, even before I formed you in your mother's womb, I had already called you by your name to be mine. I wonder how many miracles. I wonder how many amazing moments. I wonder how many gifted opportunities have gone by so many of us. Because we were making excuses. I think the greatest sin next to sin is making excuses, not listening to God and to following God. But there's one more observation. When God interrupts our lives, it's not right there at the beginning necessarily that we see it all, but the best is yet to come. Jeremiah is this young man, Nahar, it says in the Hebrew, young lad, when God calls him to be a prophet, and it's difficult and it's hard, and you read about it, the very difficult things, the very hard things that he had to go through. But if you read the whole book and if you read the whole story, you actually see the amazing things that God did through Jeremiah's life, because the best is still to come in the work that God is doing. It is easy for us to kind of just want to fall back and say, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can see the rest of the plan. I don't know where I'm going with this. I don't know if it's going to work. Well, here's the thing. If you read the whole story of Jeremiah, the one thing that you will see, not just the amazing things that God does, but working with God and allowing God to interrupt your life and to make his plans your plan, is that it's never boring. Jeremiah at some stage would say, man, I'm tired, Lord. I can't do this anymore. I'm not going to speak anymore. And then he comes back and he says, you know what? God is like fire in my bones. I just can't help it, because God is never boring. And that's why the church, this church, is a place for bored people, where you can come and discover your calling and your purpose, where you can stop floating and where you can allow God to take hold of your life and interrupt your life and bring his plan, not your boss's plan, not your plan, not someone else's plan, but to allow God to bring God's plan into your life, because that's when amazing things happen. Can you remember John 14, 12, where Jesus says, talking to the disciples, he says, here's the thing. For those who believe in me, they will do the same things I've done. No, he says, they will actually do greater things than I have done. When I allow God to interrupt my life and I let him work, the best is yet to come, and I will do greater things. Greater things than healing the sick? Yes. Greater things than feeding a crowd? Yep. Greater things than calming a storm? You bet. And I know you're thinking, looking at me thinking, man, he's got seven heads. What's wrong with him? Do you really believe that? Yes, I do. Because I can witness about that. I was all my life, one thing in my mind, one thing I was going to do, I'm going to be a physician, a doctor. My whole life. I was a young man. around 13 years old when God appeared to me one evening in my room and spoke to me and told me, "You are my prophet and I want you to go speak for me." And I said, "No way." And God says, "Yes." And for years I battled. I went to our pastor and I said, "Tell me, what's this?" And he said, "God's calling you. God has a plan for your life." And I'm saying, "Yeah, that's cool. I'm going to be a doctor and God can use that because that's my plan." Age of 16, as I professed my faith, the old pastor stood in front of me and prayed and said, "Lord, there's a young man who's standing here, but he still doesn't listen." And I was so mad at him because I started crying because God had a plan, but I was not going there. It wasn't my plan. My grade 12 year, God interrupted my life immensely. We moved from my school district to another province, into another school. I got into the school. Everything was completely different from what I did. And there was a lot of new work I had to do. I had no friends. I had to make new friends when you're that age. And then I got really sick. I got jaundice. God again interrupted my life. And I was sick for a huge part of that year. And in that time, God and I had to have a conversation. And I understood why God interrupted my life, because God had a plan. And all I had to do was to be willing. And allow God to do what God needed to do. And stop with the excuses. And here I am, man of 63. I was about 17 when I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to do this." And I'm so glad I said, "I'm going to trust your plan. It's okay for you to interrupt my life." Because if I think back on my ministry, the things I've seen God do in the lives of people, the miracles I've experienced in the congregations that I've served, the lives I've encountered and see God work, things that God has done for me, and how I have seen God's plans come true for me. All I can do is say thank you for interrupting my life. So if you think of it, perhaps God is interrupting your life because right now God has a plan. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for letting our Father interrupt your life and send you into this world. Thank you for interrupting the brokenness of this world and bringing God's plan and being God's plan. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you interrupt our lives because you bring God's plan into our lives. And we just want to say, Lord, we are willing and we will trust you because the best is yet to come. And we thank you for that. Amen.